When I was 14, my childhood friend Okoloma called me a feminist like it was an accusation, a dirty word suggesting something was fundamentally wrong with me. Years later, when my novel was published, Nigerian reviewers warned readers I was an angry feminist who hated men. I jokingly started calling myself a happy African feminist who does not hate men and who likes to wear lip gloss and high heels for herself and not for men. But why must women who believe in equality constantly reassure others they don't hate men? These early experiences reveal how deeply misunderstood feminism remains. In primary school, despite earning the highest test score, I was passed over for class monitor because the teacher simply assumed the position must go to a boy. Even as an accomplished adult, when I tipped a parking attendant generously, my friend assumed I had learned this behavior from a man, as if my generosity couldn't possibly stem from my own character. These aren't just isolated incidents. They're part of a pattern where female agency is subtly erased or attributed to male influence. From childhood, we're taught that boys and girls are fundamentally different, that one gender is inherently more valuable than the other. What if we started questioning these assumptions? What if we raised children to see themselves as worthy human beings first, regardless of gender? A woman entering a Lagos hotel alone faces immediate suspicion of being a sex worker, silent judgments that men never experience. In professional settings, women speaking forcefully are labeled aggressive, while men displaying identical behavior receive praise for leadership. These double standards create impossible expectations. Be assertive, but not too assertive. Confident, yet likable. Women perform constant mental calculations about how to dress, speak, and behave to be taken seriously without triggering stereotypes. When sexual violence occurs, society questions the victim's choices: what she wore, why she was alone, why she was out late, shifting responsibility from perpetrators to victims. This reveals a deep-seated misogyny that assumes male actions are provoked by female choices. What if we stopped teaching girls to shrink themselves and instead taught them to take up space unapologetically? What if we focused on teaching respect for boundaries rather than teaching potential victims to live in fear? Traditional gender roles imprison men in what Adichie calls a small, hard cage of masculinity, a rigid set of expectations that denies their full humanity. Be a man becomes a command to suppress emotions, hide vulnerability, and project constant strength. This emotional stunting leaves men unable to process feelings healthily, contributing to substance abuse and violence. The pressure to prove masculinity through financial success and sexual conquest creates additional burdens, leaving little room for men who prefer caregiving roles or relationships based on mutual respect. Masculine expectations also isolate men from each other. Male friendships often lack the emotional depth of female connections, leaving men without support systems during difficult times. Many suffer silently through depression rather than risk appearing unmanly by seeking help. True feminism recognizes that dismantling gender constraints benefits everyone. When we free men from toxic masculinity, we create space for them to be fully human, to cry, nurture, collaborate, and define success on their own terms. Why do we congratulate women on engagement, but rarely men? Why do accomplished women face pity if unmarried after 30? In many societies, marriage remains the ultimate measure of female success, regardless of career achievements or personal fulfillment. This mindset shapes how women approach life from an early age. Girls learn to prioritize wedding dreams over career aspirations and focus on attracting potential husbands rather than developing their interests. Even marriage traditions reveal inequality. Women are given away, change their names, and wear rings showing they're taken, customs defended as romantic despite their roots in ownership. The pressure to marry often drives women to rush into unsuitable relationships rather than face the stigma of being single. In marriages, women are praised for compromising for the sake of the marriage, while men receive praise for basic parental duties. What if marriage were seen as just one of many valid life choices? What if relationships were built on mutual respect rather than gendered expectations? These questions challenge us to reimagine partnerships based on equality rather than prescribed roles. The pervasive myth that women naturally compete with each other, especially for male attention, serves to keep women divided and prevents collective action for change. Girls are socialized early to view peers as rivals, evaluating appearances, gossiping, and undermining rather than supporting each other. This competition intensifies around dating, with good men framed as scarce resources. Media reinforces these dynamics by rarely portraying meaningful female friendships outside of romantic contexts. In professional settings, women often compete for limited female seats rather than questioning the system itself. The queen bee stereotype blames successful women for others' lack of advancement while ignoring structural barriers. Breaking this cycle requires women to reject competition on patriarchal terms. By choosing trust and mutual support over conditioned rivalry, women can build authentic connections and collective power. But it's our culture often serves as the final defense of gender inequality. This argument treats culture as static and sacred rather than what it truly is, a constantly evolving set of human agreements. Adichie points to her Igbo culture's former practice of twin infanticide, which no one would defend today as cultural tradition. Similarly, traditions subordinating women deserve critical examination rather than blind acceptance. Culture shapes gender through multiple channels. Family structures exclude women from decision-making. Religious texts are selectively interpreted to justify subordination. Economic systems ignore women's unpaid domestic labor. And education tracks students based on gender stereotypes rather than talent. Changing culture requires recognizing its constructed nature. Culture isn't destiny. It's a set of human agreements that can be renegotiated when they fail to serve justice and equality. This doesn't mean abandoning traditions, but examining which ones enhance human dignity. The most beautiful aspects of culture, community connections, celebrations, artistic expressions, can flourish without gender hierarchy, often becoming richer when all members can contribute their full gifts. Feminism is a practical approach to daily life that requires examining our choices, interactions, and assumptions about gender inequality. Parenting provides a crucial opportunity to implement feminist principles. This means allowing boys emotional expression, encouraging girls' assertiveness, and providing activities based on interests rather than gender. Parents should model egalitarian relationships where responsibilities are shared equally. In workplaces, practical feminism means addressing hiring bias, ensuring inclusive meeting dynamics, and supporting family-friendly policies for all parents. Educational settings must encourage students to explore subjects without gender stereotyping and address harassment decisively. Feminist relationships prioritize mutual respect, shared decision-making, and equitable division of labor. Media consumption can advance feminist practice through supporting women creators and analyzing gender representations critically. Examining our internalized biases is essential. Women may need to challenge absorbed beliefs about their capabilities, while men should recognize privileges and listen more on gender issues. Everyone benefits from questioning normal gender behavior. The future of feminism depends on these everyday choices: raising children beyond gender constraints, building merit-based workplaces, and fostering equal relationships. These practical changes create a world where everyone can live authentically.